Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You're listening once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. I'm your host, Imam Alfred, the host of Religion Means Alive. And today we are coming from Selma, Alabama. We're waiting for our co-host, Brother Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam, to call in. And as soon as he calls in, we will be on the air. So, dear beloved people, sit back, relax. As our first host, Laro Sadiq, said, and lean not too far back. Just a minute. Let us. Excuse me. We're waiting for Imam Yusuf Salam to come to the phone, come to the mic. As soon as he comes in, we will have him to appear. We thank you. Thank you, Brother Imam is with us. And we're going to go straight with him and open a statement because I have to take a call. Brother Imam, you with us?
Yes.
Thank you, Brother Imam. Appreciate your assistance. I have to take a very urgent call. Will you open the program and I'll come right back to you?
Yes. Dearly beloved audience, we, again, just so happy to be back with you on Religion Means Alive. And that aliveness mean always tune in, always sensitive, always alert and conscious of the environment. One of the things about traditional priestcraft religion that's been given to the masses all over, all of these so-called organized religions are guilty of it, and that's putting the mind of the layperson to sleep. Putting the mind of the layperson to sleep. And we know most of the time when we sleep, we're in a prone posture. We are lying down. And so lay people are called lay because when they enter into the temple, the mosque, the church, they are put to sleep by the priestly hierarchy, who are called the clergy or clerks, or the one who are scholars in the religious orientation. And so it's very important that we come alive, that we come awake in this day and time, and to see that religion means alive. And when the caller to prayer in the non-religious system that Muhammad brought, it was not a religious system, it was a deen, a complete way of life. The caller to prayer, who happened to be a former African slave by the name of Bilal. And in that Adhan, it calls the people lively to prayer. Lively to prayer. Adhan. So yes, religion means alive. But so many of us who are in the body of religious systems are dead because we practice our faith in a world under the culture of death. And many of us are influenced in our consciousness by that culture of death. And this is not to bash Christians or Jews or any of our brethren. That's also true for the majority of the so-called Muslim world, both in America and outside of America. And usually when people sleep in the natural order, most of the time it's during the time of day where there's darkness, where darkness come upon the land. We call it night. And this state of somnolence that has taken over the religious world, the enlivened, quickening culmination of the prophets, Muhammad said that one day darkness would come upon his community. In the so-called Muslim world, the overwhelming majority are in darkness right now. And in this world, he talked about a great famine would come upon the land, famine of hearing and understanding the word of God. We're living in that time. And last week, we tried to discuss some quote-unquote political matters. But really, there's one creator. There's one world of mother matter. There's one humanity. And there's one system of knowledge. The Satan is responsible for compartmentalizing the knowledge, dividing it up into a fragmented systems, spirit and matter, sacred and profane. No, it's one creator, one creation, one humanity, and one holistic body of knowledge. And we cannot understand and intelligently comment on the happenings in the world today if we stick merely to a narrow so-called religious understanding, or on the other hand, a narrow secular or worldly understanding, trying to look at the human condition in this day and time from a schizoid perspective. That's always the case in the in the annals of human history, this holism. But it's especially today, when we're living in a time that scripture world prophecies are being manifested, not in a spooky Hollywood way, not in a sensational way, not in a Harold Camping charlatan way or bogus way, but in a natural way. Those prophecies about this day and time specifically were given instructions to indicate that every avenue of human existence Yes, even politics, government, and what we see being expressed through events today are included within these prophetic references, included with within these prophetic references. We have to understand that if we are to be taken seriously as intelligent people who have something to offer and something to say, because we're living in a time where everything is fake. Everything is fake, especially now in the secular material world. For hundreds of years in human history, at least three or four since the Enlightenment, the secular world has always tried to cleave, to a large extent, to a at least a pseudo-scientific perspective. Tried to keep the world of science for real. The world of enlightened governmental rule for real. The world of economy, the world of business. Try to keep it rooted in some kind of facts and away from blatant mythological orientation. But today, it's baked into the cake, so to speak, that everything is fake. Information coming out of the, what should be the sober governmental and political world, fake. Information coming out of global economics and business, a good deal of it, fake. Information coming out of the social and culture world, fake, bogus, phony. Fake, bogus, phony, propaganda, misinformation, disinformation. Now that's summed up very clearly in a few words in terms of prophetic scripture when it said that one day Jesus would have to come back on the clouds of confusion. The human mind is confused in a state of disorientation because of the propaganda, the misinformation, the fakery, the bogus information. But now, this inclination toward fakery and misinformation, deceptive lies, is the inevitable result of an order that started its religious orientation in its inception based upon mythology and lies, misinformation, direction, phony doctrine. It's inevitable, and this is why the Creator has sent prophets to mankind throughout history to warn them that if you start your order off with religious deception, you may get away with it in time, and eventually you may build a big material juggernaut, and you may be, come into scientific and material dominance on the planet. That's why they start off these traditions with bakery in order to get the edge on competing cultures and civilizations, generally creating a godhead that transform the elite in the culture into gods. So, eventually, all the prophecies have suggested that your world is, even though you come into a big material juggernaut, in time your world will come to an end. And ironically, how does it come to an end? Because the same bakery you isolated and used primarily in the world of the sacred, it then becomes a runaway way epidemic and takes over the whole order, including the rational governmental order, the rational scientific order. No such thing as climate change. It's all a hoax. Voodoo economics, bakery, keep trickling down. We've been trickling down for over 3 decades, and nothing in a big way has trickled down to the masses. Matter of fact, they, according to them, and we don't know what to believe now because of this fakery, that inequality in terms of wealth and income has grown in the last 30 and 40 years. Now everything is fate. That's a natural consequence of starting the order off with fake sacred doctrine and principles. And it may take 400 or 500 years or more before that bakery catch up with that civilization. But in time, the same way that you played with the creating religion, the whole order becomes play. And this is what we see happening in America today. The whole order in the world is play. No boundaries anymore based upon truth. Everything is phony. And when the secular world grew tired, the elite, after the coming of so-called Enlightenment era to the West, and the elite turn against the mythological religious order that had given coherence and bonding to the Western world, eventually led because of that bonding and the ability to put the masses to work, coming out of feudalism, being willing to work for a bigger, more explosive economy. The Dark Age religious teachings were modified. Martin Luther came on along with the Protestant Reformation, greater freedom, even in the economic realm. And here we have the twin pillars of the Protestant Reformation and the explosion of capitalism coming out of Dark Age feudalism. Of course, even that could not have happened if there had not been any genuine information intruding into the Western order based upon accurate information brought as a mercy to mankind, the scientists, the rationalists, everyone, from the work of Muhammad. This is a fact. So yes, there was a Renaissance which led to the Protestant Reformation, but that Renaissance was stimulated by the work of the prophet. This is boilerplate history, dearly beloved audience. So what do we see now? The sun of truth setting over Western civilization. And for my dearly beloved people, the African-American people, many of us are in a state of psychic dislocation and disorientation. We're disoriented because in our subliminal worship of Western man, i.e. specifically the American Caucasian, in our innocent acceptance of the subliminal seductive techniques in religion to worship him as God, many believe that this God, this Father, this Western European American male would rule forever. And many of us coming out of the movement of the 60s were subdued by the might of the American Empire, the way many visitors to Egypt were subdued. And we couldn't figure out the riddles of the power of Western leadership and American leadership. And our overenthusiasm to get our piece of the pie, as was marked in this idea of the Jeffersons trying to move on up to get our piece of the pie. We abandon natural, authentic instructions as to how to fulfill our collective destiny. After great leaders like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and the late Honorable Elijah Muhammad had come forth in the archetype of the liberator Moses, helped navigate the tumultuous waters of the Red Sea, the angry, pathological white supremacy and racism that had to be challenged, that sea in the collective minds of Euro-Americans. They had to navigate us across that sea. But in our over-eagerness to get our share of the pie, we became enmeshed in this world of Western materialism. And we forgot the instructions. The instructions stipulated, go beyond Moses to the Joshua state and spy on the order. The Egyptians conquered because they intimidated the visitor, the outsider, with riddles. And in order to overcome that that intimidation, those on the margins had to have leaders who spied, who researched, and who studied. And the overwhelming majority of us have not been able to figure out the riddle of American life. There was a Joshua amongst us, the late son of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who was a master in terms of cultural and suco-ego civilizational espionage. And in his quest to meet the responsibility of carrying his father's organization, the Nation of Islam, to another level, primarily and secondarily to continue to provide sober leadership for all of our people, he said the first thing he had to do was to go and engage in extensive espionage with the classified information that's contained in the Western mythological order. And he understood he had to do that according to him, because the founder of the Nation of Islam, Barak Muhammad, in realizing the propagandistic tendency in Western mythology, came with counter-propaganda, blackenized the myths, and gave them to the Nation of Islam. So in order to grapple with the mysterious teachings that were not to be accepted as being literal, Imam Muhammad, according to his own narrative, said he was forced into trying to break down the riddles of Western mythology. But many of us have not imitated his action as a spook sitting by the door in America. We're still caught up in the fakery. And now, as fakery is becoming the order of today, where everybody in the West elite, the masses, all the races, all the ethnicities are being overwhelmed with a proliferation, fake everything. This is religion means alive. Can't look at this thing the way the pundit's looking at it. It's some freak temporary mutation in the American social, economic, political order. No. That's a superficial, incomplete observation. It's deeper than that, dearly beloved audience. Its depths extend far beyond that little surface understanding. Already the democratic order in this republic has been breached probably beyond repair. Already. unless we get in touch again with reality. But how can we find reality in a secular world that has really functionally eliminated an enlivened creator as opposed to a God that's dead? As opposed to a God that's dead. Obviously, the world of creator cannot be a creation cannot be reality because it's constantly changing and fleeting in a state of flux. This sofa that I'm sitting on as we speak seems real to me. But 3,000 or 4,000 years, maybe even earlier, if we come back, maybe 300 or 400 years, if we come back to this same so-called real sofa, it would have disintegrated into dust and deteriorated matter. The ship of Western civilization, dearly beloved audience, is sinking. Now, as African Americans, we have been victimized by this civilization more than any people on the planet. That's a historical fact. The Native American brothers and many others, but especially the Native American brothers and sisters, they have been victimized. But there's never been the kind of victimization of the human being in the history of man or on this planet as was experienced by African Americans in this country. But as the ship is sinking, where do we have to go when we completely bought into the systemic order just to be in a position to engage in extreme appetites and to procure a few crumbs of the materialistic order? Was it worth us selling out the legacy of our blood-drenched suffering ancestors, selling it out for a few decades of pseudo pleasure and rampant consumerism and runaway sensationalism, only to see less than 50 years after the death of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. this order sinking. And he and his lieutenants used to debate whether or not we should try to integrate into a burning house. A little over 40 years since the death of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who warned us to separate, not necessarily carving off 5 states, but separating in terms of our internal state of mind, going for self, looking for information that was rooted in truth and not the fake technology that he identified coming from Western man as a propagandistic tool to enslave us, humiliate us, put us under perpetual domination. And the collapse is going to get worse, dearly beloved audience. Amazon dropped a drone package for the first time a few days ago in England. Uber, I think, out in San Francisco, made one of his first driverless experiments. In the world of fakery, a political candidate played upon the fledgling white supremacy urge in the world of Bubba. I know they try to come with this little game that really they were not racist or victims of white supremacy, they had economic concerns. If you buy that, we'll sell you to Brooklyn Bridge. Why do I say that? I grew up in the South. The majority of supporters of segregation in my city were not rabid racists. Matter of fact, if you had approached them, they would deny having any white supremacist sentiments. The vicious white nationalists, the Klan individuals, they were in the minority. As Dr. King suggested in his letter to the Birmingham jail, the silent majority were supportive in their silence of the vociferous white supremacists. They could not have existed without that silence. So please don't tell me that because the majority of these people do not belong to the alt-right, that the neo-Nazis or the new Klan, that they do not have a level of white supremacy. If you voted for a candidate who was playing on the white supremacy element in this country, and no one can deny that President-elect Trump was doing that, then you come upon the Niebuhr's ideas of being a man, a woman who may be moral in your individual life, but you got caught up in immoral collective activity. Even if you had economic concerns, I know many of the African Americans in Selma, Alabama, who have economic concerns. But if I went to them as a political figure with blatantly black supremacist ideas, they would reject them. So is that because you got economic difficulty? Everybody has that. Does not mean that you must become entangled with a candidate stoking the fires of racism. But be as it may, what did we see happen? He promised to make America great again, but in a materialistic order, that means improving the economic life, getting them a job, the standard of living in this society built on fakery is not the excellent life that the Creator has ordered for the human being, but what's your income? What's the nation's GNP? Gross national product. Yes, material activity is a part of the human makeup, but it's only a part. So he promised to make America great again, to bring back manufacturing jobs. And here we have really a future in America where only not jobs are not coming back, where jobs are the average everyday person, starting with those who drive for a living, the coming of what they call the AI period, the new economy of artificial intelligence, driverless cars, truck drivers gone, cab drivers gone, delivery men and women gone. And then that explosion of artificial intelligence and robotics is going to extend over into other areas beyond transportation. And we're reading information that it may come a time, maybe 2-3 decades off, where only 10% of the people are working. This so-called creative class, led by elitists like Mr. Trump and these folks he's putting in his cabinet, they'll be the only one with resources in making living activities, where the masses of all people will be virtually unemployed unless this order come back to his senses. Dearly beloved audience, throughout human history, the adage has been, if you don't work, you can't eat. Now, why all of a sudden these crafted devils are going to be planning a world in an economy that turned that adage upside down? You can eat all you want to, but you can't work. This is the kind of bakery we're dealing with. If you study that word, dearly beloved audience, like I suggest, the world of Scripture, if properly understood, if you engage in espionage and decode it, it is directly tied into what we call the secular world. This AI in Scripture is all part of the word Sana. Where the human being was ambushed in a so-called burning bush in a I am concocted religious orientation, which has nothing to do with the Creator of the heavens and earth. If you study carefully, it's talking about the God, the Lord God of Israel. a segment, a tribe of human beings that who are allegedly chosen above all the other sons and daughters of Adam on the planet. Don't you know the Creator has created Adam, that everyday human being, able to be able to engage in his and her abilities to make a living, the Cain urge industrial man, like that ant, the common man, to get out there and work? Don't you know it's a big sin, S-I-N, Sinai, to bring about an order where a majority of common people on this planet cannot use their able, their abilities, their skills to work? And that word AI inside I means heap of ruins. If we follow these mass folks, dearly beloved audience, they are going to create nothing but a hell on this planet. They are going to create nothing but a hell on this planet. And I'm like the late Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I've seen enough hell on this planet for African Americans to last us 25,000-26,000 years. And now I have a free intellect, a free will. And I'm not going to go for self. I'm not going to be self-determined. I'm not going to organize myself and my community to make an exodus from this insanity. Am I going to be so victimized and psychically undermined by a deep inferiority complex that I feel so helpless as an ethnic group that even when my terminal is going down in destruction because my symbiotic and pure-hearted relationship is such, my only option that I can envision is to go down with him. The only thing I can envision is to go down with him. Do you think 400 years of ghastly conditions, in the end goal, the destiny of that is to go down in destruction with a group of people who've had their time to lead humanity in history. And they blew it because they could never relate to the others. Anybody that was knowing white, they could never treat them fairly and justly. Couldn't treat the red man right. Couldn't treat the so-called yellow man right. Couldn't treat the brown man right. And certainly didn't treat the black man right. Didn't even have the decency to treat the ones with their own pigmentation, but who came from a lower economic class. As Trump said, those folks are losers. To heck with the white trash. To heck with the trailer trash. To heck with Bubba. These white gods have not been able to come to the natural disposition where they could relate to the other with anywhere near justice and decency, fairness and equity. And now they're going down, dearly beloved audience. And I don't care how much your projected deification on them African American, that's not going to save your daddy. That's not going to save your white father. Only thing that can possibly rescue this thing now is a force arise in America working hard as a vanguard to bring the people back to reality. Earlier this week, I was on a radio broadcast, and an African-American came in, called in, and asked, she was complaining about the fact that she had gone to a program, you know, now Selma is roughly 75 to 80% African-American. And 100% of the students in the audience were African-Americans. And she was upset. And she called in and was complaining about the fact that they brought a white center in. That was her language. They brought a white Santa in. And all these little black kids ran over and jumped into the lap. So she asked this commentator to say something about imagery. And I open up with Brown versus Board of Education, an exam that they gave the African-American students, is our brilliant brother, Dr. Clark. I don't know whether he's still living or not, but if he's not, may God forgive him of his sins and bless him with life hereafter in paradise. For he did a yeoman's work when he crafted that test of black dog and white dog, and the overwhelming majority of black students preferred the white dog, the white image. I think they've done that test within the last 10 years. And after 50, 60 years gap between the test, the results were strikingly similar. You are not in a position to be the world savior, playing on the archetype in the human psychology of ruler, in the distorted shadow archetype of the prophet in the form of the magician, the risen white Christ. As embodied geopolitically in the concept of the Monroe Doctrine, where you manifestly destined to have this thing. But even in that you were not calling the shots. You were nothing but a puppet on the string. You were just a little Esau, the Edomite, the Duke of Edom, the Gentile, the one who was victim of the psycho-mill rate of Zeus. Yeah, you may have studied that mythology. Go and study the mythology of Zeus, the four-letter god, Z-U-S, or Jove, J-O-V-E, raping and ravishing the psychology of Europe. The myth of Zeus raping Europa. So even in your heady days of deification, you were nothing but a puppy on the string, And your puppeteer designed your world, crafted your world, and predicted in a satanic type prophecy that he was going to give you rope until the day of the fullness of the Gentile. Then he will begin to orchestrate forces in your culture, in your civilization, to bring you down. And we are living in that day and time. Where a global economy with intricate, interconnected communications, technological and other links have been established. That war out front was led into being by the Gentile. And his strength on the planet was maximized after World War II. In the 50s and early 60s became a juggernaut. And then one by the name of Allen Ginsberg, the crafty leader of a counterculture charge in America, wrote a book called The Fall of America. And that group that was crafted by that wily mystic, Farad Muhammad, to be used as a cannon, as cannon fodder in the belly of the American soul, was hammering away. And their leader too, the late Honorable Elijah Muhammad, wrote a book called The Fall of America. And ever since the 60s, this thing has been gradually unraveling. But everything is fake. Everybody is baked into the cake. All ethnicities, everybody out there on the make to get their share of the pie. Everybody on the take and on the make is baked in the cake to live in this artificial, graphic, baked up world. And now we're going to be telling our babies the next few days about this fakery called Santa Claus. This Christmas, M-A-S-K, where the reality of Christ has been faked and the true essence of Christ has been masked, M-A-S-K, from the masses, M-A-S-S. And they're going to be faked and tricked into spending all their money in consumerism. And old Santa, and old Satan, old Nick the Devil, gonna continue to toy with our minds as he fulfilled the prophecy in creating an extreme pleasure-oriented Rudolph that's gonna get caught up in a culture of death and a life of freakadeekism that goes down in history. No other civilization or culture pattern in the history of mankind has created the kind of freaked out common man that we see under this culture of death in America. Dearly beloved audience, let us make contact with the real. Dearly beloved African American, you don't owe this world anything. Remember what Elijah said, but on a much bigger level, go ahead now and do for self. If you're about right, the Creator will protect you and every other group in this country that's not going to sell out to the dying influence of the Euro-American chain-stoking elite. Donald Trump does not present long-term hope. He's a symbol of the death rally of white supremacy. And when my mother was sick, may God help her in paradise, forgive her her sins. One day she had a rally, and I went back from Georgia to Alabama happy. A couple of days later, she met her end by the grace of the Creator. For surely to him belong the death and the life. So don't be deceived with all this blustery and buffoonery. This thing is over. This thing is Humpty Dumpty. All the king horses, all the king men are not going to be able to put this thing together again. We're not going to be able to pour new wine in the old vessel, dearly beloved audience, but we can bring a new mind to America, a new order to America, led by an independent, self-determined new man out of Africa. That's the sensible, remaining, sober, responsible descendants of slaves in this country. Dearly beloved audience, if you celebrate Christmas, go ahead and enjoy your family and follow the law of love and the principle of charity. There's nothing wrong with that. We should do that every day of the year. But this paganism mask in the form of acknowledgement of the great prophet Jesus should be shunned. The idea that a son was born, when there's nothing but masking the pagan idea that after the shortest day in the year, the winter solstice, the sun in the days begin to lengthen each day after the absolute bottom at the winter solstice. That's enough of that, dearly beloved audience. We're not to lose faith in the reality, the real things, the natural things. We are to have hope that if we follow the North Star of reality, everything around us can be caught up in fakery and made up reality. And we continue to go on to our destiny that God has ordained, not only for us as a people in need of justice, but for common universal man. This is enough of this, audience. May you be blessed with a pleasant holiday with your family, enjoyable. And may you remember the idea of charity and love with each other and toward each other. Brother Imam, that completes my remarks. That's the longest phone call I've ever seen in my life.
Well,
are you still there?
Well, where are you? You have had an opportunity. I just want to announce to the people that we will be at 7:30 West St. George Avenue for our monthly men's meeting. United Men's Meeting. Boom! I didn't realize the Lord had given us something when he said that. But it will be at Hope. Can you speak for a few minutes? Let me get the announcers so I can make sure I'm correct, Billy, ma'am. Will you speak for a few more minutes before I ask questions while I look for the announcement?
There certainly is a practical application of what I just said. Organizing the people now, bring them to an enlivened and enlightened consciousness as to where we are at this point in history and what we're facing. Not fearing to raise the urgency of the moment.
I'd like to give the address of where the meeting is. It's going to be held at 710 West St. George's Avenue in the city of Linden, New Jersey. I said I've been going all over these United States, meeting with Christians, meeting with Muslims, meeting with Jews, other Muslims. And I said, what have I done for my own hometown? So the town that I live in, I'm holding a men's meeting. And the meeting is taking charge of our responsibility to our community. Then we go on to solution, creating productive, safe, and strong communities. We're going to be there every third Sunday by the owner has given us permission and invited us. We're in a Medina situation. I want you to know we're going to be victorious. We are going to be victorious, and as I told our radio audience last night, if we are successful on the basketball court, and we are, if we are successful even on the tennis court, and we are, and we are successful in the boxing ring, we are, we're going to be successful to lead America to its hidden potential, and that nobody on the planet more qualified than us. And when the men raise up, I'm telling y'all something, my soul sees nothing but victory. Yet the man promised, he said, there will come a day that we will see the gathering of the multitudes. I had a Caucasian gentleman the other day, after I finished with him, talking with him, engaging him, he said, I'd like to come to your meeting. I said, well, I got to first treat the patients from the 400 years, and I'll get to you who was used by the schemers. He said, you all right with me. This is Caucasian, who incidentally voted for Donald Trump. I tell people, a Jewish fellow asked me the other day, he wanted to invite me to a company Christmas party. He said, what have you been doing? I wouldn't tell him my background. I said, I can tell you this, sir. Since I was 7 years old, I have been in the persuasion business. And I currently work, pay the bills as a salaried, as a commissioned salesperson. And I'm convinced we're going to convince African-American first, be that vanguard, and we're going to convince the American people, our ex-slave masters, and the sub-Caucasians, which I find very fascinating. Mr. Giuliani was a very arch supporter. Mayor Giuliani is, the President-elect Trump. I only use titles. I don't call people by their name. I don't allow people to even call me by my name. It's another shaming of America. You go in a doctor's office, all of a sudden you Alfred. So I asked the person in the office and said, let me ask you a serious question. Did we go to elementary school together? He said, no. Well, how you call me Alfred? I'm old enough to be your grandfather. So I called Mayor Giuliani and Governor Christie, found themselves to be sub-Caucasians. They weren't offered anything in the Trump administration. So I told them, the president-elect is going to only use the people from his class. He has nothing but contempt for you. But we're going to win, and we're prepared now to lead America back to the problem. I want you to meet me tomorrow at 710 West St. George's Avenue in the city of Linden, where we are starting the movement. I tell young people on the radio, you got to join just like we did. I put on my marching shoes, and I walk with Snick, and I walk with Stokely and Willie Ricks and others. Willie Ricks was the one that recruited me into the civil rights movement, grabbed me out of the pool room. I wasn't playing pool. I was just watching. I had nowhere to go. He took me to a meeting, and I've been organizing ever since. And so, dear people, let's go and get the people. Let's invite them. 710 West St. George's Avenue. Now, while you're at it, I wouldn't be a good preacher or a salesman, and I wouldn't ask you for your donation. We are desperate, needing donations. You've got to meet a deadline by 12 o'clock. This program will go off the air. We won't be on the air. There's a lot of liars going out, and they're telling people this is a free program. This is not a free program. We have to pay Blog Talk. They want money every month. We need you to send your donations to imamalfred@gmail.com. Go to PayPal. It's secure. We'll get it. Or you can go to religionmeansalive@gmail.com. Hit the donate button, and you can send whatever you wish to send us. And we will be most appreciative. We're struggling financially, but we've been promised help. We believe we're going to get help. We believe we're going to be victorious. We believe we're going to have a very successful Savior's Day at the Marriott Hotel there in the great city of Chicago. We're going to be in Chicago for Savior's Day. Imam Alfred Muhammad will conduct the Jummah service at the Mosque Cares building, 110 East 171st Street in Hazel Court. Imam Muhammad's headquarters. Imam Muhammad lives in my soul, in my mind, in my spirit, and even in my body. So I expect to see you at Savior's Day. I also expect I will be one of the speakers at the Savior's Day convention. They are working an old man, but I tell you something, I feel more psychologically energetic and spiritually energetic. Maybe a few aches, maybe a few pains. I'm not going to stop until we get victory, because God promises that the believers must win through. He didn't say they should, couldn't. He wouldn't say they must win through. And we are convinced, I don't care what we see of the present circumstances, we are going to win through. Thank you, beloved people. We thank you so much. Brother Imam Mubashir Akhtar will speak for us in his place, in our place tomorrow. He will be on. I know he's fired up. One day he talked 6 hours straight. So you all tune in. Listen, I'm gonna be the meeting from tomorrow is an all men's meeting. We don't want may say some things that's embarrassing, so we don't want to be on the air. We're not gonna be on the air. We're gonna speak to the men in private, the way I would speak to my sons. I got a lot of message for them. 710 West St. George Avenue in Linden, New Jersey. Set your GPS and come on over to 710 West St. George Avenue. Also, please, please, we'll be off the air tomorrow. We want to be on Monday. Please send your donations to religionmeansalive@gmail.com. We get the money right away. We'll put it right in our account. And we're going to send the money right dead to Blog Talk Radio. Thank you, dear beloved people. Brother Imam, will you give us a closing statement? Wonderful presentation. Marvelous presentation, and we are looking forward to more such presentations from you.
Let me just say, Brother Imam, that we encourage you in your service, and all of those who are listening, take up a project of service. Now is the time, not just for leadership, but for servant leadership. And we hear the Imam setting a marvelous example. So let us imitate that which is good. It's been a pleasure to share in this forum today, and we hope the human soul benefited. We wish you the best with your family in the upcoming holiday season, and we hope that the Creator have mercy upon us here in America and upon all of mankind around the globe. So that's our hope, that's our prayer, and that's our aspiration. Brother Imam, peace be upon you and the radio audience. I turn it back over to you.
Thank you, dear beloved people. We'll be on the air at 3 o'clock tomorrow. Religion Means Live, but don't forget 710 West St. George Avenue. That's where it's going to be happening. All men, invite the men in your family. Bring men out. They're in the area. I don't care if you're in Philadelphia, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. Then drive to a football game. I'm going to be driving your mind, your body, and your spirit for victory. No weakness in us. Not preaching it. We're not teaching it. We're teaching strength. And God says the believers must win through, and the translation is the trusted ones, ones who accept the trust from God, the trust from our ancestors. I trust Harriet Tubman. I trust Frederick Douglass. something. I don't want to walk in our shadow. I want to walk in that light. That's the problem with us today. We're walking in our shadow. We should walk in our light. Thank you. Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You've listened once again to another edition of Religion Means Alive. Thank you. See you tomorrow at 710 West St. George's Avenue in the city of Linden, New Jersey. Send your donations to MamAlfred@gmail.com via PayPal. We will receive it. Thank you again as we wait you at 710 West St. George's Avenue in the city of Linden. Thank you.